welcome to our third review class of the week. So our subject this time is going to be our writing classes, okay? We already have our first sentence there on the screen. Let's take a look. We have a table at Chef John's this Friday at 12:30 p.m. Can I count on you to be there? You may RSVP by email or just give me a heads up at the office. Okay, let's go again. We have a table at Chef John's this Friday at 12:30 p.m. Can I count on you to be there? You may RSVP by email or just give me a heads up at the office. So first thing we have here is the sentence, we have a table. We have more than one way of saying that. We can also say we have a reservation and then mention the place. We can also say I booked us a table. Okay, this one means that you called and you booked a table for everyone. And of course you can use this for other cases. For example, she booked us a table, or she booked me a table. Maybe if other people aren't involved, she booked me a table, and things like that. This is the most common one. And just a little comment here, when you arrive in a place like this, a restaurant or something, you can say, I'm booked under, and then the name of the person, okay? So for example, I'm booked under Mr. Roberts. So the name that is in your reservation is Mr. Roberts, or you can use the first name, whatever you prefer. And another thing that we have commented before is that when you are saying the number of people that are going to sit at the table, you use the term party, okay? So you can say we are a party of five. Means that you are a group of five. In these cases, we don't usually say group, okay? The most common word is party to mean group, okay? And the next thing here is, when we have to invite someone to go somewhere or we receive an invitation, we have to say usually the place and the time. And we use at usually, okay, when we are referring to the place, because we're not referring to the inside of a place, because usually these bars or restaurants, they have an outside portion and an inside portion. So just to refer to the whole thing, we use at, okay? So in this case, at Chef John's. I'm referring to the whole space, okay? Not specific to the inside. And then we have this Friday. So when we're referring to the end of this week, we can say this Friday, this Saturday, or next Friday when it's not this week. Or instead of saying this Friday, you can simply say on Friday, okay? When you are referring to days of the week, the preposition that is most common is on, but when we use this or next, we don't need next. We don't need to use on, okay? So if you have this Friday or next Friday, you don't need on. And when you use on, you use it by itself, all right? And before saying what time the event is going to happen, we also use at, okay? Again, we use at. So for example, at 6 p.m. You just use at before the time, all right? And then we have the expression count on you. Count on you isn't only used when we're speaking of events, okay? We use count on you when we want to know if a person is willing to help or willing to participate in a process or a problem, okay? So, can I count on you to keep an eye on our project, for example? Can I count on you to keep an eye on our project? So, are you willing, are you available, you can say, to keep an eye on our project, all right? And then we have the second sentence from the same class. I say we meet at Sal's after work this Friday, maybe around 6, and just shoot the breeze. Are you up for it? Here we have an interesting structure, which is I say. So when you are giving a suggestion in a more informal situation, for example here, that they're talking about happy hour, you can say I say, okay? And this is usually followed by an action, okay? So I say we meet this weekend, for example, a more general idea. I say we meet this weekend. I say we meet this weekend. Or I say we let it go. So for example, you are spending time on a project or on an issue and you think that it's not really going to get anywhere, you can say, I say we just let it go. I say we let it go. You are giving a suggestion in an informal way, okay? And another interesting thing in this sentence is referring to the restaurant like we have their sales. So we have the apostrophe S to indicate something that is possessed by someone, ownership of something. And this is used when you're referring to an establishment that is somehow familiar to you, that you know very well. And we use the owner's name in this case. So if you know that the owner's name is John, you can say, let's meet at John's, because you know that the owner is named John. Or if somebody's name is the name of the restaurant, okay? So the name of the restaurant is someone's name. In these two cases, we can refer to it like that. So the owner's name is John, or the name of the restaurant is John something. You can say, let's meet at John's. Or if the name of the owner is Mary, let's meet at Mary's. But again, it expresses that kind of affection towards the place and the fact that you know the place kind of well, okay? And that's it for the sentence. Let's move on to our next class. So let's read the sentence. The main goal of the outsourcing process is to reduce costs and allow production to be performed in a more flexible and adaptable manner, successfully lowering overhead costs and successfully delivering products that consumers will be key criteria in determining a successful outcome. Okay, let's read again. The main goal of the outsourcing process is to reduce costs and allow production to be performed in a more flexible and adaptable manner, successfully lowering overhead costs and successfully delivering products to consumers will be key criteria in determining a successful outcome. This writing class is about a project specification, okay? We are learning how to write a project specification. Now, notice here that in these kind of texts, we need to give a lot of detail, okay? The more specific you are, the better results you're going to have. And we use a lot of adverbs in these cases because we want to say how things should be done, okay? So, for example, successfully delivering products to consumers. So if you want to specify how something is going to be done, we use an adverb, okay? But just going back a little bit in the sentence, the outsourcing process, as we mentioned before, outsourcing is the noun, okay? Outsource is the verb. Is to reduce costs and allow, permit production to be performed in a more flexible and adaptable manner. Adaptable, this sentence, this word, has the able, the able suffix, right? So this able suffix makes the action, expresses that the action is possible or has a tendency to do a certain thing, okay? So let's see some other words that are very common with this suffix. So for example, we have doable, changeable, teachable, photographable. So doable means that it's possible or has a tendency to be done, but specifically usually is used to mention that it's possible, okay? So you can say this is difficult, but it is doable. It's difficult, but it's possible to do, okay? Or changeable, it's possible to change. Our new product has a changeable interface. So maybe you can choose what kind of interface you're going to have. Or teachable, This is a difficult subject, but it's teachable. It's possible to explain or to teach people to do it, okay? And photographable, it's possible to take pictures, okay? And then we have the expression overhead costs. This is kind of different from what we imagined, but it simply means overhead costs simply means the amount, the cost of just maintaining things in a normal situation, okay? So usual maintenance costs, okay? So this is a kind of thing that you spend every time independent of new product launches or new things that you do in the company. This is the unvariable part of the money that you spend in your business, okay? So again, when we write a project specification, we have to specify key criteria that are just really key to doing the project the way it was envisioned, okay? To maintain the things that you do close to the plan, all right? And then we have our next class. Let's move along. Let's read. I'm glad to inform you that the latest update to your personnel management software solution is being rolled out next Monday. This has been a long time coming, and it will be delivered as a fully functional version. So this class is about giving good news and bad news. So we have, I'm glad to inform you. This is one of the most common ways to introduce something that you are excited to share with the person, because you know that the person is going to be glad to hear that, right? So I'm glad to inform you. And an interesting thing is that this expression is very common in educational contexts. Okay, so if you get a letter from your university or a letter from school with good news, it is probably going to start with, I'm glad to inform you, okay? This is the most common one, but we also have, it's a pleasure to inform you, or it's a pleasure to tell you. They are both equally possible, okay? But it's a pleasure to tell you is a little bit less formal, but it is very common as well, okay? And the least formal of all is, I'm just happy to tell you. Instead of glad, or instead of it's my pleasure, you say, I'm happy to inform you, or I'm happy to tell you, okay? And let's move on to our next expression, which is been a long time coming. This is an interesting expression because it, of course, shows the person that that was something that took a long time to happen. So for example, we mentioned the possibility of launching a new product, but the process was very long and the whole company was expecting that launch, but it took a long time. You can say, this launch has been a long time coming. It means it took a long time, but it also indicates that there was this kind of expectation, okay? This kind of expectation for the product to come out and for this new moment to begin in the company. So it took a long time and people were expecting it, all right? And then we have this sentence here, fully functional. So functional is an adjective and fully is an adverb. So this is just to remember that we can use adverbs to modify adjectives, okay? So I can say completely functional or totally finished, for example, all right? And other more common things are, for example, extremely cold or extremely hot, to refer to the weather. Today is extremely cold, or something like that, all right? And we have the bad news version that we talked about a little bit in our first class. So, unfortunately, most of our logistics teams are still solving a backlog of issues caused by last month's supply shortage, and we simply cannot afford to divert manpower to the issue you described. So, we have again, unfortunately. Remember, we mentioned we can say unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, or I'm afraid. All of these are good openings to giving bad news. So it makes you seem more empathetic, right? And then we have the backlog, which is an expression to mean work that is in line, you can say. So something that is accumulated and you have a lot of things to do. So this can be paperwork or just work, okay? And then we have cannot, written without being abbreviated. When you want to make your negative sentence more emphatic, we don't abbreviate the not, okay? So for example, if I say did not instead of didn't, it's very emphatic, okay? So you can say, I did not forget the update. I did not forget the update. The same thing happens with do not. If you say the not without abbreviating, you're being more emphatic, but also with verb to be. So when you want to emphasize the negative, he's not going to participate. So it's more emphatic than saying he isn't going to participate. He is not going to participate, okay? So if you want to give more emphasis, you don't abbreviate the not, all right? Okay, moving on, our next sentence is, we're gonna head to Patty's at about 6, grab a couple of beers and watch the game. Wanna join us? So this sentence is very simple. It's kind of similar to the invitation that we talked about before. We're talking about future plans in this class, and I just wanted to comment on these abbreviations. They can be used in informal writing, okay? You're never gonna use them in formal writing, all right? But in speech, it actually is common both in formal and informal situations, okay? So in writing, we only use it if it's an informal situation, and in speaking, we can just use it all the time. It's very natural in American English to use this abbreviation, okay? And here we have at about 6. So about is being used as approximately. So I can say, we left at about 2 p.m. We left at about 2 p.m. Okay, so approximately, it wasn't exactly 2, but it was approximately that. And the other sentence is a less informal invitation or a less informal affirmation, actually. So it's, on Friday, I intend to authorize the rollout process, assuming that we have no critical issues to address. So intend is part of a group of verbs that when we use them in a sentence, we are already indirectly referring to the future, even when the sentence is in present tense. Okay, so I intend to authorize the rollout process. It's my intention, so it's kind of already understood that it's going to happen in the future. Okay, it's the same as I plan to authorize something. Okay, I plan to authorize something. The sentence is in the present tense, but I'm referring to the future. Okay, these verbs have that specific use. Okay. And one more verb that we have like that is expect to, okay? So I expect to receive. I expect to receive an authorization. Okay? I'm referring to the future. And just a little comment here about rollout. Rollout is very related to technological launches, okay? So something new related to technology, we use rollout, and it's not really used in other cases, all right? And then let's take a deep breath and move on to our next sentence. One aspect I would like to call your attention to is that the document in which you outline all the claims in the patent application is not completely formatted according to company standard. So here we have the relative pronoun which can be changed to that. Okay, the meaning is the same. So I can say one aspect I would like to call your attention to is that the document that you outline all the claims, something, something, okay? Or in that you outline all the claims. So we can use this pronoun in other ways. For example, the requested update which you mentioned is late. Okay, so I'm using which to make it very clear what my subject is in this sentence, all right? And then we have the second sentence. I did not receive the document which displays the figures and examples related to the application. Let's read one more time. I did not receive the document which displays the figures and examples related to the application. So here we have an example of the negative phrasing, okay? This kind of negative phrasing isn't always necessary, so I'm just going to remind you guys about that native talk class that we talked about, positive language. So this case would be one that we could change and make it a more positive thing, okay? So I did not receive the document which displays. I can say, you can now send me the document which actually displays the complete examples, okay? Which actually displays the figures and examples. So instead of saying what the person didn't do, you can choose to say what the person can do now to solve that problem. Okay, that's an example of positive language. All right, so this is our last sentence for this class and our review. So remember that if you have any questions, you can send them here in the comments. And I hope you guys took a moment to breathe during this review week, and that you were able to remember some of the things we discussed, all right? Remember to do your community challenges, watch the live classes, and leave your questions here in case you have any, okay? I'll see you guys in our next live class or in our next review, okay? Take care and see you next time. Bye-bye.